Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed your day so far. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell button, because that bell button is very, very important. So you guys get alerted to any time I go live or I upload any brand new content. If you guys would like to contact me, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. Sorry, I know that's rude. Man. Anyways, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's. tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. I woke up in a really, really bad mood today. I don't even know why. You know, the days that I wake up in a really bad mood, and I can't even explain it. Like, there's some pretty good things going on. And I know a lot of people that don't deal with depression or anxiety or anything like that. Because when you deal with depression and anxiety, when you wake up, a lot of people think, oh, man, with things going well, You think you would be in a great mood, but no, I just woke up in a funk this morning. It's really, really hard to explain. My whole body hurt me. This hernia thing, I got to get this thing fixed. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, it does not hurt me, and it's really not that bad. Like, I don't have, like, a big, humongous, like, just bump in my pubic mound or growing area, because it is on that left-hand side, right where the leg meets the trunk of your body. And it's not even hurting me, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, because I got this on my mind. And I think this is why I'm in a bad mood, because I get in my own head. I'm definitely my own worst enemy. Because I was thinking about that just in general and briefly. It's just a thought that gets into your mind, and it's like one of those earworms. You know, when you hear a song and all day you're just singing it, you can't get it out of your head. I was thinking about it because I have not, like, been romantically with a woman in quite a while. Not my choice, just, you know, just the way things break for you. And I was like, what if I'm having a really, really bad day where this hernia is, like, keeps popping in and out? And like I said, it's really not that bad. But also at the same time, it doesn't look great. And what happens, like, if I met somebody or, you know, people that I've been talking to, I finally meet them, and things kind of progress to a point where I would be nude in front of them, it's not going to be a big turn on, is what I'm saying. I don't want you to think like it's an absolute mess. It's not. But the other thing, you know, because I don't want anybody to think like I'm reaching down my pants all the time, but yeah, because I keep kind of pushing it in. Whenever it does, like, kind of feel a little uncomfortable, that's the thing about it, is I'm not even in any pain. But if I pull my pants down for you, everything on the right side, look, I don't want you to think it's like welcome to the jungle when I pull my pants and underwear down. No. I mean, I groom, downstairs. Because it does make your what you're working with a little bit more impressive. But on that one spot that I keep pressing on, bald spot. Bald spot. And it looks weird. So I guess until I get this thing fixed, I'm just going to have to shave everything down to a marble slab. And that's been bothering me. You know, I've been working out. That's the thing about it. You know how everybody said, you know how your parents always say, oh man, wait till you get old. Yeah, and I'm not even really that old. But yeah, all the years of all the radio stunts that I've done, all the broken bones, concussions, definitely getting CTE later on in life. I'm sure that I'm going to have some memory problems and stuff like that. But man, I'm really feeling the effects. Whenever I was drinking and taking everything anybody would ever give me or offer me, let's be honest, I was, you know, searching for that type of stuff even when people weren't offering it to me. I didn't hurt as much. I didn't hurt. But now that I'm clean and sober, I'm not self-medicating. I'm having to deal with the daily, normal, everyday, like, just pains and aches and just issues that people just normally deal with. And I don't want anybody to think that I don't go about life and do things. That's the thing about it. My producer, Vulture, said I would have made a great Marine. And that's not taken away for... taken away from the people that have served in the Marine Corps. But, you know, my producer Vulture told me, he was like, Marines, they never go backwards. They only move forwards. And I would be lying if I didn't admit that it's not hard at sometimes. But I keep going on. I keep trekking forward, even though I may wake up feeling like absolute complete dog crap. I get up, handle my business. Even when I was the biggest alcoholic in the world and I was a drunk, as long as I got my feet on the floor and stood up, no matter how bad I was feeling, I still went in. Yeah, I might have to stop a couple of times on I-275 coming from Pasco County, driving into Tampa. Might have to pull over a couple of times to throw up. Because I'm so hungover. I had a regimen of vitamins and ibuprofen. And if I'm just being honest, a little hair of the dog from the night before. Or just the whole day. Not even night. And it was just a really, really bad cycle. And I'm not blaming it on people that I work for. Because I could have easily said no. I'm a grown adult. And I only missed one day of work. Can you believe in the whole 20 year plus of broadcasting? I only slept in or missed work one day. Now, yeah, of course I took vacation days. A lot of places I had sick days. Didn't have sick days at the BRN, but when I worked for iHeart or Cox Media Group, I had sick days. I would use them every once in a while, but I'm talking about legitimate days just missing work, not showing up, no call, no show. I've worked with some radio people that have just no called, no show over 10 times. Those guys never, ever got reprimanded. The one day that I did miss, and that's probably why, that was a sign that I needed to change the way I operate. Because I looked at it. If other people can have a bunch of mess ups and I can only have one, then people must really, really hate me. Or I annoy them. Or they think I'm a liability. So that was a big eye opener because for the most part, I can't say that I was responsible. But I was also irresponsible at the same time, but I still showed up. I handled my business. even though I probably smelled like a brewery. And there was a lot of times where I was depressed and had anxiety, and I still went in. Still went in. Hell, I went in after I tried to hang myself from a ceiling fan. So what I'm trying to say is, even though things might be bad at some points, and that's the thing about it, guys. I should be happy right now. Yeah, my dad just died and stuff, but I'm grateful for the things that I have. I get to look at what I've been building. I'm excited for tomorrow. By the way, I am going to get into tomorrow. If you guys get a chance, I don't like to beg or ask you guys for stuff. But if you guys can, during your lunch break, and I do think that it might be live on their Twitch channel or YouTube, just search Tom and Dan Live, Twitch or YouTube. I don't know which one it's going to be on. I think they do record Twitch, and then they take the Twitch show and put it on YouTube. But just search, I think it's twitch.tv/TomandDanLive. Because I'm going on and I guess almost competing or interviewing for position on A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. And this is very, very important to me. It is. Because this has been the longest that I've ever been off of terrestrial radio. And before you guys want to email me and say, oh, well, they are on radio. They're on Real Radio 104.1. Even if I got the gig, I don't think I can be on Real Radio because I've mended the bridges with all the people that I was an absolute complete asshole to. But it is important because I'm going in there to interview, and any extra income coming in would help me out. It's not like I'm desperate for it. Because Tom and Dan, they had an employee quit, so I'm going on tomorrow, and I think the other person that's going to be talking about the position is Seth Petrozelli. If you don't know who Seth Petrozelli is, he is the dude that knocked out Kimbo Slice the last minute, because Kimbo was supposed to fight somebody else, and that guy got sick or couldn't fight, and Seth Petrozelli, they asked him, they were like, hey, do you want to fight Kimbo? He was like, hell yeah. And he went in there and knocked Kimbo out. Just knocked him out cold. And a lot of people probably think that I should be scared going into it. I'm not scared. What's the worst he's going to do? Beat me up? It's not like that's not happened before. Think I'm afraid of death? Yeah. I mean, a little bit, but not much. So I'm going to go in there guns a-blazing because, that is what I do for a living. Now, I would be worried if you told me that I had to get in the octagon with Seth Petrozelli and fight him. Yeah, there's no way. Wouldn't even have a chance. And that's the same thing when it comes to Seth. He does not have a chance. When it comes to a war of words, it's just not going to happen. Seth is definitely outmatched. He's definitely outgunned. And I go straight for the jugular. So I have nothing to lose. Even though this is very, very important to me. It is. Even if I'm part-time. Do you guys realize what it would do for my podcast? To be able to go on and be associated with Tom and Dan? And that's the other bad thing. You evolve, you grow in your life, you change. Everybody does. And the thing is that when you've been good all your life and then you start becoming a screw up or people don't like you or you're an annoyance, the same thing goes with in the past if you were a dick, you know, they don't think people can change. And I have changed. Like, I've taken on all types of responsibilities. I get up and do this show every single day. And I take care of business. I was taking care of my dad till he passed away. I'm still taking care of my mom. And a lot of people come at me and say, hey, Tuttle, you're a mooch. You're taking you've taken advantage of your parents for a very long time. You don't have a job. What is a job? I mean, it's something that you do to get goods or services or monetarily get paid. And I do get paid. So by definition, what I've been doing when I first started out, was I making a lot of money? No, of course not. But now I'm able to pay the rent here for my mom. She's able to put away her Social Security. She's going to be moving into this house. I'm probably going to look for a new place. It's going to be close. So I can help her out and stuff. Because, like I talked about on yesterday or the day before, that my mom's never bought a house before. So I'm just lucky to be around. And for the people that say, oh, yeah, Tuttle, you haven't had a job. Guess what? This was the greatest blessing. And I'll stop with this rant. But I am so grateful. And truthfully, the best thing that Bubba ever did for me was fire me at the end of 2019. When he fired me at the end of 2019, I thought it was the end. It was the end of my career. And maybe it was the end of my terrestrial broadcasting career. But now looking back on it, at the time, I felt like a real loser just during the pandemic, taking care of my parents and stuff. But since I lost my dad, looking back on it, I'm grateful that I got to spend the last year of my dad's life with him. I saw him every single day. Every single goddamn day I got to see him. And I'm grateful for that. And for you guys to think that I'm a nobody, I'm not dependable. Yeah, just talk to my producer, Vulture, a Marine, a Navy guy. And the one thing you can say about Marines is that you can't say that they're not reliable, they're not dependable, and they won't run through a brick wall for you. And I've always done that. I put my body, mind, my reputation just for the sake of comedy. And that's why tomorrow is very, very important to me. And I don't even know if it's real. I don't know if this is just some type of bit or gimmick. Are they really interested in bringing in? And look, I'm not saying anything bad about Tom and Dan. Tom and Dan are always going to be one of the most genuine, kindest, hardworking, most respected people that I know in broadcasting. So if it's just a bit, I'll be happy to just go on and be able to promote the show. But this is important to me. This is like my last opportunity. This is my last opportunity to be able to do something that is not the thing that I'm working on all the time. And I think Tom and Dan know me well enough that they know that I'm going to give my 100%. And what also the other thing that I'm not worried about at all, I'm not scared, not afraid of Seth Petruzzelli. I'm going to go in and be myself. I'm going to stand up for myself, and I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to back down at all, even though this guy hurts people for a living. Coming up shortly, it's going to be my interview with Ethan Brown from the Sweaty Penguin podcast. My producer Vulture sets up a lot of these interviews, and I do a little bit of show prep for a lot of the interviews. Now, if it's somebody that is somebody I'm really, really into, I will do show prep. But for the most part, and I don't want you guys to think I'm being unprofessional, I like to go into my interviews knowing the least about the person personally going into it. I like my interviews to sound just like a normal conversation that two people would have on the streets of any city in America. So Ethan Brown will be joining me shortly from the Sweaty Penguin podcast. I wanted to share this piece of audio before I went to the interview, but this guy, and it's brilliant. If I ever ran into Joel Osteen, and you guys know my thoughts on Joel Osteen and any of these mega rich elite pastors, the ones that have private jets, limos, mansions, $1,000 suits, not to mention that Joel Osteen in Houston, when they had that hurricane that dropped all that rain on the Houston area and people were getting flooded out, guess what? Joel Osteen didn't open up his church for people to find refuge in. Didn't even think about that. And I hate organized religion. And I'm going to dig into this story next week about the plumber that found the money that was stashed away at Joel Osteen's house. Yeah, if I was somebody in the congregation that went to that mega-ass church, why would you even want to go to a church that big? It's like going to a stadium tour for Billy Joel or Elton John. You couldn't even see that fake, smug smile that Joel Osteen gives. You know what I mean by that fake smile that people will give. And you know Joel Osteen probably hates people coming up and talking to him. Because Joel Osteen seems like one of those guys, even though he acts like he cares about everybody, God's children and stuff. No, he hates it. I can almost guarantee you that he does. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't make sense. None of these pastors deserve that type of money when people are given their tithing, their 10%. Because that's what you're supposed to do. And these people that do that are not wealthy. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Guess who's not living paycheck to paycheck? Joel Osteen isn't. But this guy ends up going to Joel Osteen and wants to get like a little selfie with him. But I think he ended up taking a video. And Joel Osteen was like eating it up like he's some type of celebrity and stuff. And he was showing out, and this guy completely ambushed Joel Osteen. And it's one of the best pieces of audio that I've heard this year. It's really, really short, but that's just a testament of how good it is.
You with Joel Osteen? Hey, man, you know you're a piece of shit, right? You know, right?
Listen to that uncomfortable laugh. Wait, aren't you a man, Joel Osteen? And when somebody puts you on the spot and calls you out for being a piece of crap, you have nothing to say and you just, you walk away. Yeah. I'm almost absolutely sure that Joel Osteen reads off of a teleprompter because he doesn't seem like the type of guy that can be sincere and speak from the heart. Like I said, I could be completely off basis on it, but I absolutely love this. I love putting people on the spot. And a lot of people are like, oh, why would this guy do this to Joel? He is a public figure. He's a public figure. And this and kudos to this guy, because I'm sure that he rubbed Joel Osteen's belly before he turned on the video. And was like, oh, man, I'm a big fan of yours, Joel Osteen. My wife loves you. Can I get a selfie with you? And Joel Osteen was like, yeah, sure you can, my friend. Because Joel Osteen has an ego. And what happened to, look, I'm not a Christian. But what happened about worshiping false idols? The golden cow. I would almost bet you that Joel Osteen thinks that he is bigger than Jesus himself.
Right? Come on, yeah, you know. You know, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know. Take care, folks.
I love it. I love it. And this guy is like your stereotypical frat boy. And I wish that I was, I would actually pay $100 just to, you know what? I might even pay more just, but I would have pressed him a little bit. But I almost bet that Joel Osteen has personal security that follows him around, because a lot of people don't like him. He's fake. He's not sincere. And I got to agree with the guy. He's a piece of shit. All right. Well, I mean, I just, you know, like, you don't sound good on my end, Vulture. So I don't know if I sound good on your end. I mean, you don't have to, like, you're becoming a real producer now. You're snapping back at the host and everything. I mean, I get it. I mean, you're one of the main reasons I decided to do this whole thing. Anyways, I was just having a conversation with my producer, Vulture. You guys have never even heard his voice. It's very protective. He's almost like Fred from the Howard Stern Show. You hear his sound effects and all that stuff like that. Doesn't talk that much. Silent but deadly. Like a fart after eating a bunch of pickled eggs and stuff. It's exactly how it is. So I'm getting ready for my interview with Ethan Brown. Ethan Brown is the host of the Sweaty Penguin podcast. You can check out their website, thesweatypenguin.com. A little bit about global warming, the environment, but they also talk about a whole like plethora of topics. So Ethan Brown, just waiting for him right now. Actually getting pretty excited about tomorrow. Don't forget, going to be on Tom and Dan at noon. I think it's going to be for their Friday free show. That's how I'm sounding today. So I better come in with my A game tomorrow. But just waiting for Ethan Brown. I had to go do laundry today. I hate doing laundry. I procrastinate with it all the time. And it just sucks later on down the road because you got to do like 2 weeks worth of laundry in one day. Just a little tip to you guys. Go to the max load washing machines. I'm sure that I probably broke their machines because I pretty much got all those clothes jammed in there. It's like I was loading a can and I was just stuffing it in there. And I was using the Tide Pods. I got a good mixture. I don't know if I'm leaving a bunch of soap and stuff on there. But I used two Tide Pods, put in some OxiClean. And I'm starting to use fabric dryers a little bit more. I used to get a little allergic to them. They used to give me irritation on my skin. But I just hate doing laundry. And the other thing that really pisses me off, my mom and dad, well, when my dad was alive, they never, ever turned their shirts right side out. Everything was inside out when they take their shirts off. My mom does it more. My dad got better at it. But it's just a pain in the ass. I know that it's not a lot of extra work. But when you're folding clothes and you get into a rhythm and you get a bunch of shirts that are right side out and you're just folding, 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 then you come across one and it just throws you completely off of your rhythm. Takes you out of your laundry folding rhythm. And I never was a great folder of clothes. When I was helping Bubba print t-shirts at the Ray Shop when I lived there, that was kind of like my thing. I'd have to get up early in the morning and then sit in a hot t-shirt printing room. And had a little window shaker in the corner. And it gets a little frustrating because if you didn't keep up with Bubba printing, because my job was putting them through the little heater thing so the print would dry and you wouldn't get a bunch of runs and stuff. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But I learned how to fold clothes there. There is a right way to folding clothes. I don't even know. This is probably not even interesting at all to anybody. But when I try, for the most part, when I was married, I would hang up all my clothes on hangers. Now with just the t-shirts, I can't even tell you the last time I went and bought any brand new clothes. man, I used to have a lot of clothes when I was married. And I lost a lot of them when I was living at Bubba's Ray Shop as well as staying at Colton's, because I wouldn't keep any of my stuff in there because you never knew when you had to make a fast getaway or you were going to be fired. And with Colton living at his parents' house, I didn't want to clutter up because I was sleeping on the futon out in the pool room, not the swimming pool room. His dad's got a pool table there, really nice pool table. And I would actually sleep in there. And I just didn't want my clothes all over the place. So I basically, my back seat of the PT Cruiser was completely filled up with clothes. And then you could barely see out the rearview mirror because I had all the clothes hung up on the oh shit bars that are in every single car. I don't know if that's a Southern saying, the old shit bars. I would like to hear from you. If you guys call them oh shit bars, we'd love to hear from you. If you're up from up north, maybe you guys call them something different. 407-270-3044 or leave me an email, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com. So just waiting for Ethan Brown to show up. Ethan Brown is a very all-American name. Patrick, yeah. Sounds like I'm straight off the boat from Ireland and stuff. So I got the clothes done, came back here, did a little bit of working out. Funny, I'm not even doing really, really high intensity workout this week. Man, I've added some new stuff. That's right. When you get past 40, and especially as much as I didn't take care of myself, man, some things are starting to hurt. Might have to get the knee surgery done that my producer Vulture had, limping around. He was kind of playing that one off for a little while. I wonder if he was using that at home. Next time I see his wife, I'm going to have to ask him, did he try to get out of any chores? And that's the one thing. Guys, wouldn't you think if you're married, you wouldn't be doing the dishes? Every time I call Vulture, he's doing dishes. Dishes, dishes, dishes. And the guy's got, look, he's loaded. Definitely is loaded. And the guy is washing everything by hand when he has a brand new washing machine, or not washing machine, but dishwasher. Oh, I think Ethan's here. I heard that little ding ding. Just waiting for Ethan. Let me see. Yeah, I think Hello. Ethan is here. Ethan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful, man. Already been talking a little bit about you. So Ethan, where are you calling from?
I am in Orange, California.
Oh, you are Orange County or Orange, California?
Yes.
Oh, where is Orange County? Okay, so Orange, like, what's the big city around there?
Well, we're right next to Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is. My girlfriend actually works there, so that's pretty cool. We're about an hour south of LA, depending on the traffic, between an hour and five. But
yeah, I'm over here in Orlando. We got the Magic Kingdom over here. I mean, it's theme park central in Orlando.
Yeah.
Sure. You ever get tired of dealing with the tourists coming into town?
I've only been here since July, so I'm still, I mean, it's almost been 6 months, but it still kind of feels like I just got here. I grew up in the East Coast, so this is first time.
Oh, what part of the East Coast?
I'm originally from Connecticut.
Ah. So, Ethan, I was talking a little bit about your podcast. So tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can find out all the great content that you're putting out.
Sure. So I host a comedy environmental podcast called The Sweaty Penguin. Basically, each episode, we have a comedy monologue introducing a new environmental topic, sort of like very loosely inspired by like a John Oliver, Hasan Minhaj monologue. And then we interview an expert on the topic. So we've talked to professors from 10 countries across 5 continents about a whole variety of different issues. And yeah, you can find The Sweaty Penguin on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, sweatypenguin.com. We've got a partnership with PBS's National Climate Initiative, Peril and Promise. So you can find
us on
PBS.org as well.
How did you get on that? I mean, to be associated with PBS is a really big deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I interned with the Multi-Platform Initiatives Department at WNET, which is the New York PBS affiliate, back in 2019. And that was a really great experience. They have three multi-platform initiatives, one on climate change called Peril and Promise, one called Chasing the Dream on Poverty and Opportunity in America, and one called Exploring Hate on Race or on Anti-Semitism, Racism, and Extremism. So I interned with them that summer, really got along with everyone, had a great time. And then what they really do is partner with outside content creators largely to help distribute their content. So I reached out with this podcast. I was like, been doing this for about a year. We should partner up. And we did. And we've been partners for about, I don't know, how many months since April? Eight months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like you're really, really structured with the show. I mean, I just log on and just have verbal diarrhea of the mouth and just record it for about 45 minutes. And I think it's entertaining. I've been doing radio for over 20 years, and it's the type of stuff I just like doing. I do it to entertain myself, and I get very personal, and I throw out a lot of stories. But The Sweaty Penguin, is that a play on words because of global warming and penguin sweating?
Yeah, my dad actually thought of that name a few years ago. I was doing a satire blog a few years back before I came up with the podcast, and he thought of the name The Sweaty Penguin, which we all loved, and he always says I'm free to use it and do whatever I want with it as long as I constantly bring up that he was the one who thought of the name. So
yeah, he may want to take a cut later down the road, my friend. You know, like, if you know, you don't want to go around and say that he gave you the idea, because if you blow up big, man, he's going to want to take his 15%.
I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
So, all right. So let's get into this. So what is the biggest environmental threat that we have right now that we're facing?
I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one. I guess what we focus on the most on The Sweaty Penguin is climate change, but we don't just do an episode on climate change, for example. We'll take very small chunks of that, whether it be a food like chocolate or coffee or something, whether it be a animal, whether it be some facet of international governance, whether it be a chemical, we'll take a very small piece of it and explore that piece from a bunch of different angles, whether it be climate, whether it be other environmental issues, whether it be economic issues, social issues, health issues, national security issues. All of these things really intertwine. And so I think by taking these smaller pieces and then figuring out which angle maybe you care the most about can really engage a lot more people.
Is it too late for us? Are we going extinct as human beings right now? The birth rates are down. Maybe for the first time, we might have a decrease in population here in the United States, especially with the pandemic and stuff going on. I don't want anybody to think I'm one of those conspiracy theory people, but, and I'm not into the population control type stuff, but I've been doing a lot of reading how the planet Earth has a tipping point on how many people that it can sustain. And I really do think that we are the only species on the face of planet Earth that if you took us out, the Earth would actually get way better.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot more nuance to this too late conversation. On the one hand, you're right, there are global tipping points. For example, if the Arctic sea ice were to melt to a certain degree, it becomes darker, which means it starts to absorb solar radiation instead of reflecting it back, which creates this whole spiral effect. So that's where you'll hear about tipping points and it maybe being too late. We're not at that point yet, but it's also not, I don't know how productive that conversation is, because if, even if we did hit that point, we still want to find a way to survive, right? Like, we're not gonna just give up and let the human race die out. Not that I think.
But what if we're the parasite, though? What if we are the parasite, though?
I mean, we have certainly contributed to climate change. That's very clear. We have put out carbon emissions for the last 200 plus years, which have warmed the climate. So in that sense, you're right. We also certainly have the power and the technology and the policy wherewithal to be able to combat that and create, even if it's not the same planet that we used to live on, we should still do whatever we can to make it livable for us.
I was reading an interesting article. They were actually talking about, instead of making all the roads in the world darker colors, making the roads white to reflect sun and stuff. And it kind of, when I first was reading, I was like, oh, this is silly. But it really does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because if you make the roads white, the goal obviously would be to have them reflect sunlight instead of absorbing sunlight. What happens then is it reflects sunlight into the driver's eyes and you can't really drive on them very well. So that's where I think this gets really fun. There's a lot of nuance to these conversations. It's not always quite as simple as you hear this one cool solution idea and let's move forward with it. There's always pros and cons to all of these different things. And that's what we try to explore on the Sweaty Penguin.
I was also, I saw this fascinating story. I know it makes me sound really nerdy, but I watch CBS Sunday Morning every Sunday. I DVR it. Sometimes I get busy on Sunday, but I watch it. And, you know, there's this big push, you know, everybody's going to electric cars and all that good stuff. And yeah, that's going to help out with the carbon emissions. But I was reading, with all the lithium mining and stuff, the waste and the byproduct is just as bad at some point. So do you know much about that? Or have you guys talked about that?
We've talked about it a little bit. We certainly, I think, would love to do more of a full in-depth episode on it. We've kind of touched some of the surrounding topics, but I think it's an important point that if you have a reasonably fuel efficient car that you can drive for several more years, if you continue to use that one as opposed to junking it and buying the new electric car, it's going to have a lower climate impact, because there's a lot of inputs to building a car. So that said, obviously an electric car is, once you do have it, it will not have the same kind of emissions. So that's ultimately the end game and the goal. But in the meantime, I think it's really about being efficient and being smart. It's not always about switching everything as quickly as possible. Sometimes it's about just letting things live out their life and then switching to the better thing once that time comes.
Yeah. Ethan, I got to give you credit. I was going on your website and everything. Look, I got to tell you, man, you got an impressive stable of the ladies working for you there, man. And they seem very, very smart and stuff. I was like, man, I see Ethan. I see what he's doing. Not saying you're interested in any of those people, but listen, every radio show, every podcast, I mean, you want to have, and women get things done. Let's be honest. Guys procrastinate all the time. And I think you're working it smart there. How many people do you guys got on staff? Because I saw you had like 4 or 5 researchers and stuff.
Yeah, we have an 8-person team right now, 2 guys, 6 women. I certainly don't hire based on gender or anything like that.
I understand that. I'm just messing around, Ethan. That's why I brought up, I know you're a married man and stuff, but man, like, I mean, you guys must be doing pretty well to be able to have a look. I'm flying solo. I'm recording this whole podcast right now in my PT Cruiser. So what I'm saying is, I mean, you guys must be doing way better than I am.
Yeah, I mean, it started out just myself and 4 or myself and three other people. It was literally right when quarantine hit. I had a little free time and was like, hey, let me actually do a passion project I'm interested in. And that kind of started this podcast. And luckily, a few of my friends who knew some things that I didn't know were bored out of their minds and willing to join me. So we started with that group about 10 episodes in. We really thought this would just be like a little quarantine hobby, but after enough episodes, we were like, this is something. Like, we're doing something really cool. How can we make this sustainable? And so we brought on a few more people as researchers to kind of bolster up that side, because the big time-consuming thing for us is actually writing those monologues that go into so much depth and are about 6 to 8 pages a pop. It's like writing an academic research paper every single week, basically, and then adding jokes to it. So we bolstered that up. And once the PBS deal happened, we were able to start paying some people. But it's really just everyone.
You don't ever go off the cuff or anything? Like, I mean, what do you got a teleprompter? Like, I mean, I don't know. See, I come from a different type of school. I don't know if it's working in radio all my life and stuff, but I just don't know if I could go off of a script. I maybe that's why you got 8 people working for you and I'm flying solo.
Yeah, I am very envious of your ability to do this off script. I am certainly working to be better at that, but I can't just rattle off one of our monologues off the cuff. They take a lot of in-depth research to create. And I mean, I came into this as a writer. I was not a radio personality or anything coming into this. So that's where I sort of have found my strength in the writing side. And I think I'm getting better at being a host, but that's been a bit of a learning curve.
What type of stuff were you writing? Romantic novels? Were you writing like young adult, teen, like thrillers or anything, or anything out way out there?
That probably would have been more fun. Well, I wrote a lot of satire. I was the editor-in-chief of both my high school and college satire publications. I also did a bit of screenwriting, short films, TV pilots. I went to college for film and television and really focused on that. And I did a lot of just environmental writing for our college's environmental student publication. So I do like 1,000-word articles for them. And I was a writing tutor in college too. So I did a lot with just academic writing. So all of that kind of came together.
How was college for you though? You know, like I consider myself a nerd. I'm into everything nerdy and stuff. And, you know, being a part of the high school writing team and newspaper, you know, like that's like being in some of the other stuff as well, too. Like, did you meet some chicks? How'd you meet your wife, by the way? You said you're married. Like, did you meet her in college? Did you meet her like doing some environmental stuff? How did you meet your wife?
Well, I'm not married, actually. We're just boyfriend and girlfriend, and we live together.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We've been together for about a year. But that's a great story. I met her because our parents were our moms were friends in Mommy and Me in their birthing class. So I actually visited her in the hospital.
It was an arranged marriage.
I visited her in the hospital the day she was born. We went to Gymboree and preschool together. Then our parents kind of lost touch. And so we hadn't seen each other for like 17 years and then reunited the summer of quarantine because she was interested in doing a master's in television. I was currently studying television at Boston University. And so we connected over that interest and then went from there.
Steve, going to Boston University, you don't sound like a character from the movie Good Will Hunting at all. Like, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, how do you like them apples type thing?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I also went to high school at a boarding school in Massachusetts, so I was there for 8 years. And it was I think I liked it. I couldn't see myself there like forever. I just hate the New England Patriots too much. But I definitely loved the city besides their sports teams and had a great experience there.
Boarding school, like boarding school in high school, like your yep. teenage years, you were in boarding. How was that? Like when people hear boarding school, they think it's all, you know, uptight kids that are going there, or boarding school could be for kids that are in trouble. They want to send them to boarding school to get their crap together and stuff. How was it going to boarding school?
Yeah, and I think that's, it can be the case, but I don't think it always is. I went to Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts, which was a really, really great experience for me. It was kind of a mix of people who were wealthy and can afford it and people who were there on some sort of scholarship like myself.
You were the bad boy probably, like if you were there on scholarship and then all the rich snobs and everything, I bet the ladies were like, you had to beat them off with a stick.
I have no idea if that was the case or not, but
I mean, you lived it. I mean, you had to, I mean, you were there. I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. Because I mean, going to a boarding school and you weren't a part of the snobby rich kid ones, I bet all the ladies were like, oh man, he's mysterious.
I mean, I would say it wasn't like any sort of majority rich people. I'd say it was probably 50-50, if not more, in my direction. So I think it was a really cool opportunity to be around a diverse community as opposed to my all white town in Connecticut where I grew up. I certainly got to learn a lot of different people's stories and outlooks on life, which I think really has later helped me kind of write about the environment in a way that people from all sorts of walks of life might be able to engage with. And just academically, I mean, it's a really challenging school. It prepared me really well for what was coming in college and just becoming more intellectual. And I got to have some leadership opportunities and clubs, which I learned a lot from. So yeah, it was a really great experience. I really enjoyed it.
And I got to tell you, you're rocking the bow tie like Tucker Carlson did back in the day. You still rock the bow tie every single day? Because I got to tell you, I the last radio show I worked on, they used to make me wear a bow tie because we were on Twitch. And I think the bow ties are definitely cool, to quote the 11th Doctor from Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't wear it every day, but I certainly wear it if I'm going to be in any sort of public appearance like that. And I think it's a great little signature look for me. I enjoy
Are you
it.
tying it yourself, or is it one of those like snap-on ones?
Oh, it's a snap-on. I don't have time to do that.
Well, Ethan, what's the next episode going to be about? And tell my audience once again how they can check out your content.
Yeah, so I've got an episode tomorrow on policy development, which sounds boring on the face, but was actually really interesting. It was kind of asking the question, is our lack of progress on environmental policy over the last decades just because we didn't want to, or were there actual procedural
Money.
Barriers? So we explored that. Next week is on sharks, which is a really, really fun topic. I'm excited to put that one out. So yeah, we're all over the map in terms of our topics. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, or thesweatypenguin.com or pbs.org/Peril and Promise.
All right, Ethan, man, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Yeah, great to talk to you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.